Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Solon. Rabbi Yosef Friedenzon, a so-called Holocaust survivor, says that there were many people who gave him chizuk and direction during those difficult years. There were those who unfortunately taught him, if need be, how to die. And there were those who taught him how to live. And he would tell the story of a 15-year-old girl from Chust who he met in Birkenau. He came from Yeshiva Schachma Lublin with a chava by the name of Abiezer, and to their great mazel, Siyata Dishmaya, they were given a job in the camp. A job? Refuse collectors. It was their job to take this, what we call today the wheelie, and funnel around from place to place, corner to corner in the camp. And we can imagine, not a very geschmacka job at all, but to them it was a lifeline. There were scraps of food, they could pass messages. To them it was chios. In Birkenau, there was a big sort of ditch that divided the men from the women's. And one day, it was a cold autumn's morning, some weeks before Rosh Hashanah, and they were traveling their bin, and they passed this big ravine, this big ditch between the men and the women's section, and there stood a young girl huddling in the cold, and she was calling across to them. They stopped. Asveda, Asveda! Thought to themselves, I swear they're here in the camp. Okay. So Taka, they continued their journey, and later on that day, they passed the store where Nebuchadnezzar Yidden had to leave their belongings, and one of them stood outside, the other went inside, Vayar Keinish popped in, and he picked up a sweater. Taka came out looking a bit faster than he had been earlier, and they move on. And they come back to this girl there, huddling in the cold, and she's waiting. They look around, and takes out the sweater and he throws it across the ditch, lands at her feet, and she picks it up and she says, "Asveda, Asida." That's all this girl had in her mind. Weeks before Rosh Hashanah, they never Gehenim on earth, and all she had in mind was Asida. Something on which to daven, something from which to turn to the Rebbeinu. The Chidor says in yesterday's parasha, the Malach was sent to stop Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. And if his Bogu sends a Malach, Shetot na Malach, says the Pasuk, V'char boy shalufa b'yodoy. He had a sword stretched out in his hand. And we can ask, isn't the Malach enough to scare Bilam to stop? What's the Cherub all about? See, Chazal, as mentioned earlier in the parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving Bilam a message. Bilam, your keach is the cheyev. Why are you meddling with the keach hapeh? Al chazal chatichya, that's Esau. You have no right to meddle with the keach hapeh. It says twice in the pasuk shalufa. First time with a vav, second time on a vav. Says the chidor shalufa with a vav. Cut it into two, shaloi peh. With the charbei shlufa is another message. Nishna the charev is Esau's and yours, but shaloi peh, the keach hapeh, that's Klal Yisrael. That's the gift of Klal Yisrael. It's matana given to us. Shaloi peh. Not only is still our keach in Beshalach, by Klimus of Sun, by Kres Yamsov, before Kres Yamsov, by Tzaku al Hashem, they're cornered. Allah Zaitan, and they cry to Hashem, says Rashi, often from Chazal, Tofsu Umnes Avesam. They gripped hold of the profession of their fathers. Others had passed down the Klal Yisrael, the Keach HaTefillah. Chazal referred as an Umnes, a profession. A profession is something which a person has to learn hard for, study 3, 4, 5 years, if not more, to become the Umn. But every Yid is potentially a professional, not Baal Tefillah, but a professional mispaleh. As you said, an Omnis takes time to learn to perfect. It's our care, it's our umnes. Yibachu once came to the Chazon Ish. And Dr. Rebbe never said anything. And before he had a chance to say anything at all, the Chazon Ish launched into a whole drasha on Amunah, the Inan of Amunah. Yibachu, listen very well. And then he had to go, so there was no time to ask his shaila. And he left, but he was very puzzled, and he had a chava, and he sort of, you know, opened to his chava, I'm so disappointed. What's the tzaddik kimia? Is a chavah that said, Amuna? Why did he have to talk to me about Amuna? What message is he trying to get across? So the chava said, go back and frig. Go back and ask, push it. He went back in. And he asked the chazon Ish Rebbe, what are you? The chazon Ish said, nothing. Nothing personal. Emuna is something which needs chizuk to midi. Constant, regular chizuk. You see, Rahman al-Islam, Ayid Shematari Mitzvahs. And suddenly, is a peric oil. Didn't happen like that overnight. The Emuna was sort of weakening constantly inside him. Until eventually, he sort of threw it all out. Bapundi, as far as the public is concerned as well. Emuna, if one isn't mechazik one's Emuna, Rahman al-Islam, it becomes weaker. Emuna needs chizuk to me. He said, the Chazon Ish, how does a person, what sort of emuna should a person aim for? That it should be a chizuk to me. And he calls it emuna chushis. Chushis means sort of real, right? Factual, practical, tangible emuna. How does emuna become emuna chushis? The Chazon Ish said, baita. Everything that a person needs, a person turns to this Baruch, please obey Nishleyon. Give it to me, help me out. If a person is constantly, 24 hours a day, anything and everything he needs, he turns out to his Baruch for help, that is mechazik a person's amunah, then amunah becomes reality. Then amunah is chushis. If a person needs a pair of shoes, right? You don't think? If any sailor, please, I'm going now to the shop, help me find the pair of shoes, the right one, quickly, chach time, and I'm happy. No job, you see in these, haulage contractors sometimes across the van. No job too big, no job too small, they advertise. But the Rabbeinu Yisrael, of course we know nothing's too big, too small. But as far as we are concerned, we shouldn't fit up this Baruch Hu. What such a mundane matter? Someone should come down so low. Chas v'shalom. This Baruch Hu wants us to ask him for every single thing, how big or small, doesn't matter. The Pinchas Koris, one of the Chassidus Shigadolim, was once heard davening. Chassidus stood nearby, came to Lekai and said, Lesheni, and he said, in the middle of his fill, he said, Ibrahim Shleilam, Shik Tzadik the Dienst, send back the Shifcho. Chassidim, wow, Shifcho, Kadisho, and God of Shkinah, but Kalisha, the Chleis, the Shifcho, you know, and they said to him, Heather, you know, Zayn, what's it going to mean? What did he say? And Freya Nishkizim, and the greater left us, send her back! That's all he meant, Poshet and Prost, so to speak, right? Mundane, but every single thing we need. There's no such thing as, I can't bother Chris Baruch with this. Chris Baruch wants to hear from us constantly, regularly, for everything, whatever it may be. Matzio Shalita discusses the meaning of Keach Hashpo. Keach Hashpo is a melodic keach, and no human being can sort of be above Keach Hashpo. Yeah? Ramon tells us to get away from Hashpo, one has to go out into the wild. It's quite impossible. It's not impossible to override the influences of the environment in which we live. We find Yechidim, Mamish Yechidim, Yechidim Segula, who was Zecha to such Madrigas. He's a Patsadik. Yeah, a Zaydan, a younger man, 17-year-old, right, from the Beis Yaakov Avinu, hangs up Mitzrayim, Yerushmayim, Midas Tevis, right, and he's thrown into a lion's den. Mitzrayim, Shtufei Zimo, and from one problem to another, and there he is in the depth of depravity, Mamish in jail there with who knows, the lowest of the low. And yet, you know, he still shines. Yeah, the Rashi beginning of Shemois, the Yadiach Kosei Shel Yisrael Batzadik, Oem Levin Tzidkoi, the same Yosef, didn't matter what happened, he remained the same as, how did he manage? How did he manage? It's virtually impossible for a human being. And so, survey. Vayara dinok ki Hashem itoy. Says Rashi, Shem Shamayim Shogur B'Fiz. The Goy Petifar saw that Chris Baruch was with Yosef HaTzadik. What did he see? A halo on his head. What did he see? He saw שם שמיים סוגר בזה. שחזל מלאכיש ונכנס, מלאכיש ויועצה. When Yosef came in, he was whispering to himself, murmuring to himself. Went out, and Pesach's boy casting a spell over him. What's going on? And Chazal explained to us, and he explained to Potiphar. Potiphar, you asked me for a hot glass of tea. Do I know what you consider hot, what you enjoy? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it hot like Potiphar wants. Yes, I want my bed to be nice and soft tonight. Do I know what's his soft for Potiphar? HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it soft tonight for Potiphar. And every street and trip, every step of the way, with asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, make it please like Potiphar wants. He was constantly connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Keach HaTfilah, every single thing, how small, how big, by being in touch with HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. That enables one to pull oneself above the Hasparas of the people. And that was the secret of Yosef HaTzadik's Keach, that he remained the Yosef HaTzadik, come what may. The name of the Melech, we know the famous Peshat, in Loshin, in the word Tfilah, Rachel Imenu hadn't given birth, didn't have a child, and she decides to give Yashivcha Bilot Yaakov Avinu, and a child is born. She says, Naftule Elikim Niftalti. Now she brings there a Peshat in there. One Peshat is a lesson of connection. I have now, until now, the gap between myself and Leah was a vast one. Leah had six children, and Hathi, a mother, and I, you know, there was never no line of conversation. There's such a vast gap between us. Now, Baruch Hashem, I have a child with Kate. Consider my child through Bilah. I am now connected with my sister. We have common ground. Naftuli Elikim Niftalti. Says Rebbe de Belemelech, that's the lashon of Tefillah. Tefillah is connecting. When a person turns and davens in the Ribono Shel Olam, speaks to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he is connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you think about it, you know, you have the national grid, vast source of power of energy. And you take your little machine and plug it into three holes in the wall, two holes in the wall, and the power that comes through lights up and heats and everything, machines, massive machines, power. And here we have a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is the source of every single power that exists, every single bit of Yeshua and Baruch and Parnassah and Midot Tovah. And by davening, we connect, we plug in that Gevurah, the source of power. The Ben Yisrael Malayim, imagine that what comes down through that wire, through that connection, and sort of reaches us if we so wish. There was in a shtetl, now Satan, a cheder, like every shtetl had a cheder. Normally the cheder was in town. This shtetl didn't have room in town for a cheder. That cheder was in a sort of in a valley just outside the town. So one had to get to this cheder house. You left town, crossed the field, then you went down an incline into a valley, and there stood the cheder. Now, okay, you know, there were no sort of beautiful steps and, you know, way into the cheder. So in the summer months, wasn't a problem. The kids came to the top of the incline, on there. I went down, you know, and arrived at the cheder door, a little bit dusty perhaps, in winter. Right, when there's slush and mud and rain, you know, and they're trudging across the field and they arrive there, what do they do? Again, we slide down. You can imagine how they come to cheder, right? Splattered and, you know, with muck and... And they notice a very strange thing. The Rebbe, come what may, sunshine, rain, winter, summer, he arrived as a Rebbe should, he arrived spotless. Come on, spotless. And they were amazed. And one day, one of the kids talked of courage. Rebbe, can we ask you something? Yes, Kinalach, what do you want? Rebbe, there's only one way to cheder. From the shtetl, across the field, down the thing, into cheder. How is it that you always come spotless? One or two specks of mud in your shoes, okay, but otherwise, how do you do it? Kinalach, come on, Rebbe, meet me. Took them outside. There he showed them, just at the sort of beginning of the incline, was a big stave driven into the ground and a rope attached to it. When I come to cheder, I undo the rope and I lower myself down on my feet. That's how I arrive clean in cheder. Atman halt on oben, said the Rebbe, glitzt man nicht inten. You're holding out there, you don't slip down below. And the same is the tefillah. Halt on oben if every moment of the day, everything we do, we connect, and hop on even switch to Manish Inton, we're not slip and slide in the mud, Kavela Mazer. And that's Yishma Tzadik again. He enabled himself to pull himself to be pulled above the Hashpoa Sasviva because he was connected to Avnhalta Noibun, which finished into Rebu, Rav Uri Zeha. Grace him. Not only about Shuv, but Madrich Litshuva. Tell the story of Simson Pinkus, said this over in the name, Rav Uri. He, we know, was a one of the greatest stand-up comedians that the Israeli media had. It was a hit, a knack. And the time came when he began to see the light, and he was in the capitals, and he happened to hang a city south, and behaved and acted and spoke differently, and the island began to see that Uri's changing. And the time came, Uri said, listen guys, I'm finishing here, I'm going to Yeshiva. And of course, it caught the glass. And then the time came when he came into the office to say goodbye. And the Chavrus said to him, Uri, od b'dicha achat, one more joke, tell us one more joke. Okay guys, he said, I'll tell you one more joke. There were these two yeshiva bachrim who had a bike, and a Vespa, a motorbike. And one morning, they got on their bike, the two of them, and off they go. There was a mishpara in the car not far behind, and he said, ah, I'm going to get these guys, I'm going to get them a ticket. Obviously, you know, they're not going to indicate, and seat belts, and look right, and look left, and lights, and speed. You know, within minutes I'll have them. And he followed them, and they were doing everything right. Everything right, mamish. Seat belted, and mirrors, and speed, and the lights, everything. And he was getting very frustrated. This policeman, he wanted to, you know, eventually flashed them. And they sort of turned in, and they stopped, and noticed them, and they said, my gosh, what have we done wrong? That's the problem, we've done nothing wrong. How do you do it, yeshiva guys? How do you do everything right? Ha, Hashem itanu. Ah, gotcha, Hashem itanu, the three on a bike. And the message of the joke, obviously, is clear. He wanted to tell these people, that thing is life. Hashem itanu, Vimen Gate and Vimen State, right, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives, to connect constantly with the Beira Elam. As we have in the song, Vimen Gate and Vimen State, yeah, Mitzvah Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we are brought up with that today. That everything we say, and every time we say, it's a tefillah. In Yirik Sassam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it happen, please. I should be able to be there, meet so and so, give you this, do that. In Mitzvah Hashem, it's a tefillah. And Baruch Hashem, if I said tefillah, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're used to that. We bring our children in that way, constantly to remind them HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much part of our lives. We are constantly connected. From Simpson, the fellow we know, never he lost his life in a car accident. It's very strange that so much his Sfarim are replete with Mashalim and stories and examples of to do with cars, with driving. Very interesting. So Shimshin, when he speaks in one place about tefillah and connecting, he says the following. He says, imagine you wake up one morning, place 7 o'clock, want to go to shul, come out, key in the ignition, that's all you get. Nothing more than that. Flat battery? What do I do? To your muzzle, Yankel the shark is also going to shul, and he sees you, so you beckon to him. So we, and you together, you do a jump start, and he pushes you down the incline, down the road, and you started. You give him a wave, stay up, Yankel. See you later. Your morning began totally out of your control, completely flat, and now you're in control again. You're the boss. That's one scenario. Another scenario, here in London, might be have a place called Moss Side. Moss Side is called a dodgy place, and you don't sort of park your car there and go away. The undesirables, unfortunately, live in that area. So imagine I go to Moss Side, and I park my car, go into a shop, come out, and I put my key into the ignition. No noise at all. Lift my bonnet. Battery's been stolen. Right, now, that's bad news. Right there, it doesn't help. If I need jump start or kick start, I'm stuck. I need towing all the way home. So the Shimshon, that's how a Yid has to see the Kerach HaTefillah. Not the Shabbat, because Baruch Hu, thank you, good morning, Abed Yisrael, right, I'm davening to you now, then I'm off, you know, thank you Hashem, you gave me the push, and now I'm on my own, I'm in control, I'm doing how I want to do. I have no battery of my own. Every moment, I'm being towed along, every moment of the day, every step I take, I'll call Neshimo, Neshimo, Tahale, Okor. Right, why should it be, because I breathed a moment ago, I'm breathing now, why should it be I can wink an eyelid, I can move my finger, I can utter a sound from my throat, why? It's all, I'll call Neshimo, Neshimo, Tahale, Okor. Every ounce of the way, everything I have, is only a matnas Hashem, is only a gift of life. The Benish Chai, the Murid HaKeremes, we had in Lashon HaKodesh, in Aleph Beis, we have Oseis HaNiglois and Oseis HaNistores. Take a letter Aleph. The letter Aleph is the one letter, but like it's the word, it's Aleph Lamud Fei. Beis, we see it one letter, that's the Nigla, what we see, but like it's Beis Yud Sof, it's a whole word. So the Nigla is what you see, the Nistores sort of are the letters which make up the word of that letter. We take the word Odom. Odom, man. So you Odom across the top, then you've got Aleph, Dalet, Dalet Lamed Sof, how we spell Dalet, and Mem. If you now draw a line under the top letters, what are you left with? Right? You've got a Lamed and a Pei, you've got a Lamed and a Sof, and a Mem. So on the ground, abracadabra, you have Mispalel. That is the Mensch. That is the Odom. We can only be an Odom, we can only live our lives as a human being, right, through that Kech Tfilah, through that connecting with Rabbeinu Shloilam, through that being Mispalel. It's a beautiful story. Today to tell a new story is difficult. In one of the books, Touched by a Story, which tells us again what Tfilah does for a person. Tfilah isn't, you know, getting what I want. That's perhaps the smallest chelik of Kriyat Tfilah, in Yonah Tfilah. So the story about a Jew, far from anything Yiddishlich, who landed up in Siberia, and to his great muzzle, he thought he was given the job to work in the gold mines there. Apparently there were gold mines there. Now, to him, you know, like to most people, gold, there's nothing greater and more precious and more beautiful, wonderful than gold. So he was thrilled. And what he did was, yeah, as he was mining the gold from the raw surface, bits and pieces he managed to smuggle into his pocket. Nobody saw, nobody watched. Each night he took these little gold pieces home, and he would take them out and count them, watch the pile grow. And one day, as he was doing it, the door burst open and his roommate burst in. What are you doing? You're sitting there, what are you doing? Gold? What for? Can you eat gold? How does gold help you here? You're here for years and years. What's gold? And he began to look like a denarius character, because what he was doing, the stupidity, futility of collecting his gold pieces, and he stopped. And he realized that far more important than gold in Siberia is food. His stomach was almost constantly rumbling, and he became thin and emaciated, ill from the lack of food. And he realized that the gold is gone, it's there, the money is gone, it's food, I need food. One day, feeling hungry and starving, one of the guards passed by with a cigarette. Ah, my eye, that whiff, tobacco, smoke, lifted him, and his hunger was forgotten. He overcame his hunger with that, I'm not advertising, you know, with this wonderful feeling, and he thought, ah, it isn't gold or money, it isn't even food, a cigarette, I can get, obtain a cigarette for myself. The problem was, tobacco wasn't difficult to come by, too difficult, but the paper in which to wrap the tobacco, oh, that was worth its weight in gold, literally. One day, he was working there, out in the fields, and he heard his name, he heard himself being called up. There was a local peasant, called him over. What can I do for you? I need your help. Next year, you're an intelligent person. I cannot read or write. I have a son who is out on the front fighting for the country. And he sends me a letter. Once a month I get the letter. If you can translate and read me the letter, you can have the envelope in which the letter is sent straight away. Paper, cigarette, you know, no hunger. Of course. So he read him the letter, was given the envelope, and he dashed back to his room and spread out the envelope on the floor, and with an answer, four cigarettes. And he managed, excitement sort of began to build within him. When he looked closer, he saw the envelope was a page from a siddur. Even he knew that. It was Alastair Hebrew writing. He couldn't read it. He ran off to somebody they called their Rav there, who was a bit more learned than the rest. Rusaka, a page from a siddur. And every day from that time on, they all the Yidden got together in that camp and they read from that page of the siddur three times a day, word for word, all together. And he said, from that day on, we were in Siberia, we were being enslaved and we were starving, we were hungry, that we walked around with our heads in the air. We walked around with feeling life has purpose. It did something miraculous for us. It raised us all. We felt human beings again. There was purpose to life. And I realized, it's not gold, it's not money, it's not food, it's not tobacco, it's not cigarette, not paper, but the Enoch Stiller, this fellow himself said, that did so much more for us than anything else. It's that again, it's what Stiller does for a person. The person sort of plugs into that great source and connects with the Benishtern and Malayim. What comes through is personal chizuk, personal uplifting, and the very connecting, being in touch, enables us to bring our souls above and beyond the sometimes difficult and nasty world in which we live. If I can go one point further, we want our children to daven properly, to be machshiv tefillah. Our children, our grandchildren. It doesn't help by telling Yanka, look inside, stay here. That doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. Today, this doesn't work. As you all know, we are told time and time again, the message has to come through from us. A certain counselor, Mashiach, in Eretz Yisrael, with the Kuntres, called Altechetu LaYeled, and he tells an amazing anecdotes of people who have made mistakes. He tells a story there of a Yid who came to him, and the Mashkiach had been in his house occasions, and he said, the Rebbe said, you know, I always wanted my children to grow up as the Neter, Erlach Eden, and it hasn't worked quite how I wanted it. Why do you think? And the Rav sort of found it difficult, but said to the father, let me give you something, an example, something I saw in your house, which I think may help you to understand. He says, I was there one Shabbos, it was a Friday night, by a meal. One of the kids got a bit upset and he switched off the light. On Friday night, switched off the light. So, you know, you said, look, little boy, what can I do? What's that data, you know? Leave him alone. So, and that's how it passed. Nothing was said. The next day, one of the children running around, also Mr. Lil, built, and he knocked a crystal bar to the table and it smashed. Did you lay into that child? Oy vavoy. Now, what did the child understand more about the crystal bars springing off the light on Shabbos? But the fact that you laid in to him for the bars, not for the light, not saying you should have laid in for the light as well, but the fact that you laid in for the bars, that sent a very powerful message to the family. What's chashuv? What's important? Now, one more. Also, maybe, I mean, we ourselves, we all fall into this on occasions. A kid was asked in class by his rebbe, it was asked in class, what's most choshev in the world? What's most important, most precious? So one kid, you know, they said a different thing. One kid said, Rebbe, cholent. And the rebbe was taken aback, but didn't say anything. Later on he caught up with the kid, Yankel, why did you say cholent? He said, I'll tell you, rebbe. I always understood and thought Torah was important. what happens? I come home on Shabbos. I've got a sheet of the Torah to say. I want to say over my, I start the Madvar Torah, the Tzolent comes in, my Madvar Torah is finished, we've ignored, forgotten, the Tzolent is an important thing. So it must be more important than sales. Yeah, unfortunately, we all on occasion at different levels fall into this. If we want to pass a message to our children at the chashivas of tefillah, and how wonderful and how important the precious kech tefillah is, always has to start from us. If the child sees we are davening properly, we are machshiv tefillah, then that message comes to the children as well. So be zecher to daven takim, to take simcha nachas, and also this will be answered.